who had leprosy, nothing.
They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us."
When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests."
And as they went, they were cleansed.
One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Mm. Jesus asked,
"Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?"
Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you, Grace. Good morning, family. Grace and joy to you. What a joy it is to be with you today and to break open God's word with you this morning. I believe that what the old people in my church used to say, if there's no praying in the pew, there won't be any preaching in the pulpit. So I believe if you pray this morning, God may breathe on us. Amen. I want to tag this message this morning for our thoughts. Where are the 9? Where are the 9? Jesus in this passage, family, is on his way to Jerusalem. He's getting ready to die for the sins of the world. And on his way there, he goes along the border of Samaria, where there he meets 10 lepers. Now, these outcasts of society lived there because they were rejected by society. Jesus, in his matriculating through this area, he's recognized because the rumor has gone out about him that he's got power over sickness, over disease, and even inanimate objects. The word has gone out about the Messiah. And these lepers now have an opportunity to encounter the one that everybody else has been talking about. You know what's amazing about this text to me is that it happens at the border. You know the border, where families are separated. The border, where social injustice is always at a nation's high, the border, where these outcasts, rejects from society, are in need of a savior, and that's where they capture and encounter the Messiah at the border. If you would have stopped me right there and said, "Chap, where do you think Jesus would be if he was on earth today?" I'd say, at the border, because that's where broken people are hurting and in need of a savior. Can I say some more? Yeah. The interesting thing about this passage is that there are 10 men that have been separated from their families, and they are in need of someone to change their lives. And that's why I want to camp out today in this devotional talk. I want to talk about what happened to the 9. And there are 3 things in this passage that I think will bless us. So let's look at the need for a savior, the necessity for salvation, and the neglect in sacrifice. And I'll unpack those as we go. When you look at verse 11 and 12, if you'll keep your scripture open there with me, the Bible says, "Now it happened that he went to Jerusalem, and that as he went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and then he entered a certain village, and there met him 10 men who were lepers and stood afar off." Family, when we come to this portion of the story, we get to see again that Jesus is not only making his way to Calvary, but he enters into a place before getting to the cross where there's great racism and division. See, Samaria was a very different kind of neighborhood. The Samaritans and the Jews were at war with each other. They hated each other and despised one another. So there was great problems in this area in which Jesus entered into. And when he gets there, Brother Luke opens up for us what one of those problems were. Men who were there had encountered this life-threatening disease, and it was called leprosy. No doctors or medical clinics at that time in that day could solve or even fix this dilemma. It was known as being a life-threatening, chronic, infectious disease that was characterized by sores, scabs, and white, shiny spots beneath the skin. There was no cure for leprosy, so they had to isolate this group of any people who caught it and put them on the outskirts of the city. Secondly, as Jesus entered this area, we see that he meets them right where they're at. Now, interesting enough, this group of men, this community of men, they're forced to live in leper camps. And these camps were usually, according to historians, on the outskirts of the villages in remote places. Why? So that people would know these men are ostracized from society. They're no longer worthy to be among us. It's interesting because the Levitical law declared that if you were put into a leper camp, you had to, first of all, yell, "Unclean, unclean," if anybody came near you. And so you had to dwell in this place of isolation, this place of pain, wear these garments, and deal with the disease that you had encountered while you live life on death row, because there was no cure. When I look at this text, daddies are in that crowd. Providers are in that crowd. Sons are in that crowd. This disease, it separated them, not only from society, but from their loved ones. Here it is, let me say it like this. It was cruel. It was devastating. It was wicked. And guess what, beloved? It was caused by sin. This is why this text gives us a bigger picture at the problem in the world today. Sin is still a chronic problem. Sin is still a condition of the soul. Can I get an amen right there? Amen. The Bible says that it came to us through Adam and Eve. And ever since it got here, every man, woman, boy, and girl ever born into this earth has been born to die and is suffering from this chronic disease. I don't care how smart you are, what side of the tracks you came from, what nation you were born in. You were born a sinner, separated from a holy God. And you know what that teaches me, Miss Cheryl? Sin has devastated our planet. From Africa to Asia, Canada, Australia, Russia, Europe, all have been pronounced guilty and unclean because of sin. I was thinking about this, Sister Destiny, and I've come up with an idea. Let me try it out on the grad school. Sin is so awful, it'll make you do things you never thought you'd do. I can't get an amen, so let me keep going. Sin is so awful, Brother Garrett, it'll make you go places you never thought you'd go. Sin is so awful, it'll make you say things you never thought you'd say. It'll make you wish you were never were born. Sin makes a man kill another man. Sin, Pastor Lawrence, makes countries go to war. Sin, brothers and sisters, make mothers kill their babies and babies kill their parents. Sin makes people steal to eat. It makes the rich starve the poor. You see, like sin in our lives, that chronic problem they had was a problem they couldn't fix. They needed a savior. And that's where this text is lending us today. Well, we've looked at the leper's need for a savior. Let me show you now the leper's necessity for salvation. If you keep your Bibles open and waddle with me in the text, in verse 13, the Bible says, when they saw Jesus, they lifted up their voices and they cried out together, "Master, have mercy on us. Verse 14, and when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was, Sister Gloria, that as they went, they were cleansed. Did you catch it? Beloved, when you read this text, these 10 men start off crying together to the Lord for salvation. Here it is. They've come together in spite of their physical, cultural, sociological differences, in spite of their despair. We see them in community worshiping together. And look at the location. They're at the border in their brokenness. And only one person can heal their situation. Can I tell you the same cries are going on today at the border? People at the border are still crying for salvation. They're still crying, Sister Olga, for a Savior. And Jesus hears the cries, and look at what he says. Sister Joy, the Bible says, he yells back to them, go show yourselves to the priest. This is powerful. Because this command was literally in response to what would happen to a leper who got cleansed in the Levitical law. You see, in order to be invited back into the community, the priest had to examine you after you were declared to be made well. So Jesus here hears their cry. He does not size them up. He does not give them any special orders. He blesses them with the cry of salvation and says, go see the priest. I like that right there. And I like it because Jesus here speaks a healing word to them. But in order for them to receive it, stay with me, y'all, they got to obey the command of the Lord. Did you catch it? See, by them hearing Jesus declare they're healed by going to see the priest, by walking in faith, they would walk out what they believe. Okay, let me say it another way. Faith still comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. See, having faith was critical to them being cured from the pains and the sins of this world. They had to first believe that Jesus could make them well. They had to first believe that God could give them another chance at life. I like this. But when they call out to him as the master, they already had the element of faith that he could heal them, and that's why they cried out for him to save them. Story is told of Hudson Taylor, one of his many journeys to China. He had to travel, of course, back then by boat across the sea. And Reverend Clarence, as he was sailing across the peninsula, the ship came to the island of Sumatra. And the captain of the ship came back to Hudson's corridors and had a problem and a crisis on his hand. He said, brother missionary, I came to ask you for some help. And Brother Taylor said, how can I help you, Brother Captain? He said, it seems like we have no wind to steer the ship or guide us, and we're sailing into uncharted area, and we're headed to a very dangerous island. I've heard that you were a man of prayer, and I've come to ask you, would you pray? Hudson Taylor listened to the request of the captain, and he said, I'll pray on one condition. The captain said, what's that? He said, that you lift the sails. The captain said, brother missionary, I don't think you understand. There's no wind, and I'll look foolish if I lift the sails. And what are my men going to think? Hudson Taylor said, I won't pray until you lift the sails. So he went back in his quarters, and the captain went on the deck and lifted the sails. And after 30, 40 minutes in prayer, he came running back to Hudson Taylor's quarters. And he said, brother Hudson, you can start praying now. Hudson said, why? He said, we got more wind than we can deal with. Why did I tell you that? Faith in the power of God can still do the impossible. See, faith in the power of God is what God uses in the life of the believer. The sailors needed to see God at work, and God wanted to use the crisis so they can get to know him, just like the lepers in this text. Well, we've looked at the lepers' need for a savior. We've looked at the lepers' necessity for salvation. Let me land the plane now and let you see the lepers' neglect in sacrifice. The Bible says, brothers and sisters, in verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned with a loud voice, and he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, and he gave him thanks. And the Bible says, and he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? What a question. Beloved, when we come to the close of this pericope, instead of returning to praise God for what he had done for them, the 9 lepers show us a side of them that I don't think we talk about very much in hermeneutics. They show a side of unthankfulness in spite of the mercy that God had had on them. Okay, let me try to approach that a different way. God blessed them with what they asked for. But instead of coming back to offer a sacrifice of praise, they kept going with their lives. What a tragedy. What a wasted moment and a blown salutation. They missed the chance to give God praise. Here's what I want to say. They went from having faith that God could do anything and experiencing his power to being unthankful for what he's done and not coming to tell him thank you. How often do we do that? Do we take our blessings for granted? Come on, Americans, talk to me. How often do we fail to bless the name of the Lord after he has done marvelous things? How often do we fail to tell the story about what God has done for us? Secondly, what this verse is teaching us is that Jesus asks powerful questions. He wants to know what happened to them after they received the mercy he has shown them. Where are the 9? And that's the question I want to ask us today in chapel. Where are the 9? How come the grad chapel isn't full? Where are our faculty and staff and students? Where are the 9? Perhaps they got their desired riches and they left. Where are the 9? Perhaps they become YouTube famous, TikTok great, and they've left. Where are the 9? Perhaps they received a little prosperity. You've got the job now. You don't need to come to chapel. Where are the 9? Perhaps they got the spouse and the dream house. And now they're gone. I feel like preaching, I'm in trouble, so let me just step on the gas all the way. Where are the 9? They got a chance to lead, but then maybe they experienced some greed. I don't know where they are, Jesus. That's a great question. But I'm so glad that the man in the text comes back and gives us a response. The Bible says he was an unusual man. The text identifies him. He was a Samaritan. He was a foreigner. He was an enemy of the Jews. He was a half-breed. He was a poor, broken man. And on top of that, he had leprosy. He was outside of the commonwealth of Israel. But this Samaritan recognized what God had did for him. This Samaritan recognized where his blessing came from. Oh, I'm feeling some help right here now. This Samaritan recognized what God had did, and the Bible says He came back and gave glory to God. Fell at Jesus' face. You see the discipline there? Prostrated himself. Total humility. Recognizing the sovereignty of God. He got his sacrifice right. And I don't know why he came back prospectively, and I don't know why he stopped following the crowd. Because remember, they were all together. But he decides, I'm not going to show myself to this priest because the priest of heaven, good God Almighty, has come here and he's present in my sight. Instead of going to the priest, the Samaritan became a priest and built his altar at the foot of Jesus. Oh, that's a good quote right there. You should write that down. See, by coming to Jesus, the man received something greater than physical healing. He was also saved from his sins. And that's what the other nine missed. Jesus says to him, your faith has saved you. Same words he gave to that woman who anointed his feet with the tears. Well, I got to leave you now. The nine lepers went to the priest and were declared clean by the priest. But the Samaritan was declared saved by the Son of God. Did you catch it? Beloved, while it's a wonderful thing to experience the miracle of physical healing, don't you know it's even more wonderful to experience the miracle of eternal salvation? I praise God for the stuff he saved me from, but I praise him even more for what he saved me from. I'm closing when I tell you this. One of these men had a thankful heart. What about you today? Are you thankful for eternal salvation? Are you thankful for how he died for you? I love this. Jesus then says to him, arise, go your way. Here it is. Your faith has made you well. Beloved, you need to know today, certain things will happen when you remember what the Lord has done for you. Certain blessings will happen when you return to give God praise. Certain things will happen when you honor God because he honored you. Not only was he healed, but he was saved. God's brought some lepers in this room from a mighty long way. I know I'm not alone when I tell you, you too were a leper. He saved you. I know the truth. You don't deserve to be here. If we deserved or got what we deserve, it wouldn't be grad school or Wheaton College. Come on, talk to me. No, something else. We're lepers, and we got to go and tell the story about what God has done for us. So, beloved, don't be like the nine. Don't become unthankful. Watch the grumbling and complaining about your papers. I said it as your chaplain, I said it. Watch the grumbling and complaining about your professors. Watch the grumbling and complaining about your institution. The truth is, none of us deserve this. It's by the grace of God that we are here. I can't get no amens right there this morning. But don't forget, give God the praise because he didn't have to choose you. Give God the praise, the sacrifice of worship. Why? He's worthy of the praise. And then don't forget the ultimate sacrifice that he gave to cleanse you from all sin. And I got to go because that clock is calling me. Listen, don't forget that the Lamb of God died that you might be born again and have a right to the tree of life. Don't forget, it wasn't your goodness that got you into heaven. Your good looks, your pedigree, your nationality. It was the grace of God and the salvation of the sacrifice lamb. Jesus paid it all. Not you, not your tuition. Jesus paid it all. He died. And that's why he's worthy of your praise. But you know why else he's worthy of your praise? They put him in a borrowed tomb, but the tomb couldn't hold him. Because early Sunday morning, God the Father raised him back to life. He's worthy of the praise. So, as you ask yourself, as you walk the halls, where are the nine? you be the one that come back and give God praise. You be the one that offers him the sacrifice he is worthy of. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Chaplain Greg is coming at this time.